More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, going negative. We're going to help you deal with negativity and all the negative people that are getting you down. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today's show, we are helping you to avoid going negative as we help you deal with all the negativity and negative people getting you down. Figured we'd start the week off by helping you get in a positive frame of mind to face whatever is coming down the road. But tell us, do you struggle with negative thoughts? Maybe you find yourself criticizing yourself or tend to discount your successes or get discouraged a little more easily than you'd like. For that matter, maybe there's a negative person in your life that is wearing you down, sapping your joy, or causing your frustration to spike. Either way, let us help you overcome whatever the source of negativity in your life happens to be. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
And maybe you're thinking, I don't want to focus on the negative stuff, so I'm not going to talk about this today. But if you're doing that, if you're not able to say, this is my struggle, this is what I'm dealing with, how do I get new tools, then all we end up doing is sort of like, you know, we've got the mixture of baking soda and vinegar, and we're sticking a cork on it, you know. And we don't give it a chance to say, well, what do we do with this that would be effective, that would launch us instead of explode us, that would help us, you know, to do better in the world? There's a way to deal with our negativity that's positive, productive, moves us ahead in a way that gives us joy and moves us closer to who God created us to be and the mission he's given us in life. And then there's a way to just shut it down in a way that ends up hurting us, because even though we've turned down the volume, it's still nattering away back there, and it's draining our energy. It's sapping our joy, or somebody in our life is bringing that to us all the time. And that's not the way that we're built to live. We're built to live as children of the Most High God, who know that we're loved, that we know that we're cared for, that know God has a particular plan for each one of us, and we're built to tap into that and to live that plan well. And if we give in to the negativity, if we give it too much power in our lives, then we're blocking out that signal from God that lets us know who we are and what our mission is here on earth for us in particular to live, because each one of us is unique and unrepeatable and has a unique and unrepeatable mission to live in this world. But we can't know it and live it well if it's being drowned out by negativity, ours or somebody else's in our lives.
877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Going Negative, as we help you deal with your own negativity, or for that matter, the negative people that are getting you down. Lisa, you use that phrase, unique and unrepeatable person. That's taken directly from St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And looking at this idea of negativity through the lens of the Theology of the Body, we see that the TOB helps us challenge our negativity by reminding us of who we truly are and what we're called to become through God's grace. You know, negativity traps us in our fallen, sinful, broken selves. It makes us believe that broken person we see when we look in the mirror is all we're ever going to be. But the theology of the body reminds us to acknowledge the work that needs to be done, certainly, but also gives us a blueprint to begin to imagine what our lives could look like if we keep allowing God to do his graceful work in our hearts and in the world. The theology of the body helps us rediscover the freedom that negativity seeks to rob us of, the freedom to cooperate with God's grace, to become the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled sons and daughters of God that we're meant to be. 877-573-7825. You know, in looking at this question of negativity, it's especially, and maybe even to some degree, I don't know, some people might be surprised by how much negativity can undermine our relationships. You know, it's one of those things where, I don't know, it seems to me that if you're living in it, this isn't a surprise to you, but just from the outside, it can be one of those things that's just so subtle that you don't notice the effect that it's having on your relationships, right? But a study done by the University of Kentucky on how negativity affects marriages found that how couples process negativity, both individually and together, tends to matter more to the long-term success of marriages than the couple's passion or other positive factors. The biggest risk factor is when spouses respond to their mate's negativity, either by withdrawing or becoming negative themselves. Mm. That's becoming negative yourself leads to a spiral of negativity that makes it difficult sometimes to save the marriage, because then spouses trigger each other. That negativity then tends to undermine all the positive things that couples try to do to take care of each other. So learning to deal effectively with one's own negativity, or the negative thoughts, behaviors, emotions of your spouse, is really, really important. And that's what we want to do today on More to Life. Whether it's marriage or family life or your own personal life, we want to help you get rid of that negativity that is seeking to rob you of your joy, peace, and confidence in your ability to be and live how God wants you to. 877-573-7825.
I have to say that this is definitely something that is far more insidious than most people think. Most people would say, well, then just live with a lot of positive affirmations. Just stop being negative. Just make it stop. I grew up with an incredibly negative household, like toxically negative. And it's really hard to deprogram that from your brain, even when you want to do it intentionally, unless you get certain skills and unless you practice those things. It's so subtle and so it becomes ingrained in our thinking patterns if we're raised with that or if we've developed that at a young age, that we need to make ourselves aware of it and really do the work, or it'll be passed on for generations.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. You know, you started by saying, you know, we think that it's as easy as just saying positive things to ourselves. That's actually, ironically, among the worst things you could do to deal with negativity. is try to force yourself to be positive. And people are like, well, what are you supposed to do? If you're not supposed to be negative and you're not supposed to be positive, what are you supposed to be? Well, we'll talk about that. But here's what happens, okay? When you try to talk positively to somebody else who's negative, or when you try to talk positively to yourself, what happens? Well, you know, in the front of your head, you're saying, gosh darn it, you know, I'm good enough and I'm smart enough and people like me. And in the back of your head, you're thinking, yeah, right. Okay? So the attempts to affirm yourself by denying the problem or just talking past the problem actually increases the likelihood that you're going to feel even more negative about it. That same thing goes for your attempts to encourage other people by just saying, oh, it's not so bad. Everything's going to be fine. You'll see. In the back of their heads, they hear, yeah, right. And this is just one more person who doesn't get it, which then reinforces their negativity. Well, what do you do? Well, we're going to be talking about it throughout the course of the program. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. 7825 if you want to overcome the negativity in your own head or that's coming at you from the people around you. Once again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for reminding us that in all things we can rejoice and be hopeful in you. Help us to face the very real problems, challenges, brokenness, and sins that we all experience in ourselves and others in a way that allows us to be proactive, to be hopeful, to cooperate with your grace, to see these challenges as opportunities for growth, to not give in to the temptation to feel negatively and to be hopeless and to despair, but rather to ask, Lord, how can I respond to this in a way that will glorify you and help me become everything you created to be, me to be? We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, our show is titled Going Negative, as we help you overcome the negativity in your own mind or the negative people that are coming at you and draining your joy and wearing you down. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Christina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Dallas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, Christina. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, yes. This is kind of tied in. My mother, same thing, kind of toxic, negative upbringing, and always was so negative to us and mean and verbally abusive and physically abusive. And now she's 84 and is having a lot of memory loss and still living in her own home. And none of the four children live even in her own state. And we had a kind of a meeting at Christmas with her. Everybody flew in to talk to her. And she absolutely refuses to budge out of her house. And we've looked at many assisted living places near one of us, and it took her to look at them. And she can't even, when she goes in and out one door and into another in the same facility, she thought it was a different assisted living facility. So, and she, you know, I think she knows who I am sometimes, and other times she doesn't. And even like four times in the 10-minute conversation, she'll, I think, ask, you know, be wondering who I am.
Sure.
So
she's experiencing a lot of cognitive deficits. So what is it that you're looking for help with today?
I had that negative constant talk in the back of my head and feeling guilty, you know, that, but she won't listen to my sister and I. She just only listens to the males in the family, and they're not standing up to say you have to move out of your house. So she's on her own, and I feel guilty. Like, what if something happens to her? She's gotten lost driving, and what if there's four flights of stairs in her house? What if she falls and, you know?
You say that it's your brother, your oldest brother, it says on the board, is the one who is primarily responsible for her then, that she listens to?
Yes. So my sister and I have told him for 2 years now, it's all up to you, it's on you, we'll back you up 100%.
But he doesn't do anything about it?
He won't force the issue. He won't, you know, physically remove her, and I don't know.
Would he go, just to understand, so I understand he's reluctant to do that on his own. Would he sit with the two of you while you did it together?
Oh, well, you know, we did have this meeting for an hour and a half talking with her, eight adults in the family, and
well, you're not going to convince her to do it, is what it, so that's the first thing. She's got dementia, right? So she's not going to be able to make a conscious decision. You're not going to talk her into this.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to anyone dealing with cognitive deficits at all, especially dementia. My mother had early onset Alzheimer's disease. I've been there, Christina. This is like saying, I've got a tantruming 2-year-old who's lost it on me. They're crying. They're completely inconsolable. They're on the floor. And I'm going to sit here and try to talk them through what's good for them. that wouldn't work. She's not in a place right now to be talked through anything. She needs people who to work for her good. And it sounds like you have a very clear understanding of what working for her good would be in order to keep her safe and well.
So I want to address this practically, and then I want to kind of finish up emotionally. So practically speaking, considering the dynamic of your family where your mom, to the degree that she's capable of listening to anybody, is only really listening to the males in your family, and particularly your older brother, the key here is not necessarily convincing your older brother to do this, because, again, he tends to be a little more passive about this and doesn't want to ruffle his mom's feathers. Your mom's feathers. So the only way to try to do this with your brother would be to say, look, we need to make this decision for mom. We can't try to convince her. She's not mentally capable of making this decision for herself. So the three of us are going to have to sit down together and decide that this is where mom is going and this is what's best for her. And then the three of us together are going to need to go and talk to her and try to make that happen. Now, if your brother balks at that, if he's not willing to support that, then you're going to need to back up a little bit and try to watch from a distance here and see if she's deteriorating to the point where she is a danger to herself. You know, she starts setting, you know, pot on fire or, you know, causing other problems, right?
Or, as you said, she got lost. She couldn't find her way home.
And at that point, you want to contact the Elder Services Department in your county, in your mom's county. Most people aren't aware that Social Services also provides not just children's services, but most counties provide elder services as well. And to have a social worker go in and do an evaluation. And if it's found that she is, in fact, a danger to herself, then they can begin a proceeding that will require your mom to move to the assisted living facility that you want her to be in. So that would be the next step if you weren't able to work with your brother to make this happen. Emotionally, it's a little harder because, of course, even when we have a parent who's been abusive to us, we still love that parent and still want to, you know, prove to them that we can be a good child, and that's very, very painful. But I want you to work very hard, okay, on realizing that your guilt or lack thereof is not dependent upon you convincing your mom of anything, right? It is in having a plan to deal with this and knowing that you want to do what is best for her and you have a plan in place for doing that and that you're going to follow that plan. And anytime you hear Satan in your head telling you that you're a bad daughter or that you failed in this or what, you know, that you're abandoning your mom or whatever, I want you to remember, I want you to go back to that place in your head where you can say, look, I have a plan. This is what I'm going to do, you know, and I'll go through the process I just described to you. And focus on the fact that you're being proactive about this, because making yourself miserable about it isn't helping your mom or you.
And I really want you to be able to, and you might need to write it down so you can see it, remember the definition of real love. It's working for the good of another person. If you can keep that as your touchstone, I'm working for her good because I love her, no matter what her reaction is, no matter what anybody else's reaction is, no matter how it makes me feel, I'm working for her good. That will help you to kind of equalize those thoughts in your head and be able to check to see what's real, what's not so real.
So going back to what we said earlier about how being positive, saying positive, affirming things to yourself doesn't work, what do you do instead? What you do is you be proactive. Right, you make a plan. You say, this is the problem. This is what I'm going to do to address it. And then whenever the negative thoughts come up, you just keep focusing yourself back on what you're going to do to address the situation. Proactivity is better than positivity for dealing with negativity. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we are taking your calls about the negativity in your own head and the negative people in your life. We'll also be joined by Dr. John and Claire Grabowski, who are going to be sharing with us how couples can support each other through the negativity that comes in the door sometimes in marriage. Stick around for that and more of your calls when More to Life continues after the break.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5. Is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way.
I, you know, made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, you know, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and then it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Going Negative, as we talk about dealing with the negativity in your own head and the negative people around you. Negativity getting you down? Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Dr. John and Claire Grabowski. Dr. John Grabowski is a moral theologian at Catholic University. Together, they've served on the Pontifical Council for the Family, and they are also the authors of Raising Catholic Kids for their vocations. Sorry. I'll get that title right one of these days. Welcome, John and Claire Grabowski, to More to Life.
Hi, Greg and Lisa. Thanks for having us here.
Well, let's talk about this whole idea of negativity. I want to start with you, John. Problems come, it's easy to kind of get demoralized, and when we do, sometimes husbands and wives sort of feed on each other about that. We're talking about that at the study at the top of the show. How can husbands and wives support each other through that negativity?
Well, it's important when you're trying to encourage your spouse to do it in a way that it can be heard as encouragement. So when a husband says to his wife, it's no big deal or it'll be okay, now saying that to another man, that could be a supportive thing to say, but if a husband says that to his wife when she's struggling, it could be like throwing gasoline on a fire, because what she hears is your feelings aren't important. They're no big deal. In either case, but especially in a marriage, it's probably better to focus on trying to really hear what your spouse is saying and then offering to pray for her, or even better still, with her.
You know, I love the fact that you're saying, you know, to pray for her and with her, because really one of the things that scares us to death as spouses is we don't know what to do and there's nothing we can do. And Claire, as a wife, you know this situation. We've all, you know, you get married and it is the for better, for worse, richer, or poor. There are going to be challenging times in every marriage. What kind of wisdom can you give folks as you look back over the challenges that the two of you have gone through?
Wow. You know, Lisa, this is so true. Anyone who's been married for any amount of time knows that marriage is wonderful, but it's not always easy. And John and I actually have gone through different times in our lives where we've suffered a lot. And I don't really look at these as I come to see my suffering as a blessing, because it's through these times that we have to draw on the grace, where we have to, you know, beg God to help us. And there's so much grace available to us. We can go to Mass together and receive the Eucharist. We can go to confession and repent of our sins and receive the grace that comes through reconciliation. We can get prayed over when we're sick and have the anointing of the sick. which John and I both have had to do over our marriage, because it's not just for the dying, it's for those who are suffering in some kind of sickness. So there's so much grace available to us, and it's through these times of suffering that we see God's going to help us. We can't do this alone, and we have the gift of the sacraments to help us.
You know, John, you were sharing that C.S. Lewis had a quote that's particularly inspiring to you on this.
Absolutely. His wonderful little book, The Problem of Pain, he calls pain God's megaphone. And he wrote that, you know, God whispers in our pleasures, but he shouts in our pain. And that's true in marriage, too. But when you're, as Claire shared, when we're going through those trials and the suffering, it reminds us to lean into God's grace that's available to us in the sacraments and in our prayer life. Because when we're married in Christ, it's his strength that carries us, not our own.
And I think when we look back at those kinds of things, it enables us to have, I don't know, a different perspective on the sufferings that we've been through. What would you say, Claire?
You know, when I talk about what we've been through, I tell people, again, I look at our sufferings as blessings. Not that I want to go back and do it again, but when I see how much we've grown, how much John and my relationship has strengthened through the hard times, and how our relationship with the Lord has grown, I thank God for these times. They're gifts, because we all want to grow closer to the Lord and grow closer to our spouses.
Yeah, suffering isn't great, but if we can respond to it gracefully, the growth and the grace we can get from it can make us grateful, not just in spite of, but because of what we've been through. Guys, thank you so much for being with us today. And again, the title of your book, Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations. Check it out. John and Claire Grabowski, always a pleasure to talk with you guys. Have a blessed, blessed week.
Thank you, Greg. You too.
And when we come back, we're talking with you, callers, about the negative people and the negativity in your own life. If you want to experience more joy, more confidence, more ability to be effective and positive, give us a call at 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back right after these messages.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
What does the Catholic Catechism teach us about the Assumption of the Virgin Mary? The Church professes that she was assumed into heaven, body and soul, honored by her Lord and Son as Queen of all things. By her Assumption, she participates in Christ's resurrection and anticipates the resurrection of other Christians. She is a preeminent and wholly unique member of the Church as a result of her total obedience to the Father's will and her Son's redemptive work. Thus, she is the Church's model of charity and faith. According to the Catechism, Mary's motherhood in the order of grace continues in heaven. What began with her ascent to the Annunciation continued till she stood under the cross and will not cease until the eternal fulfillment of all the elect. She is involved in the Church as advocate, helper, mediatrix, and benefactor. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I was raised a Catholic and went to church every Sunday faithfully. I met a boy and he was non-Catholic, so I left the church to be with him. When I was away from church, I yearned to be home. What brought me back was my longing for the Eucharist. The Eucharist fills me with a spirit that you can't find anywhere else. I have a peace when I walk through the doors of the Catholic Church, like that's where I belong.
We invite you to take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Discipline is a difficult question to navigate in today's culture. Many parents don't like the idea of corporal punishment, but fear spoiling their children as well. Luckily, the Church has long provided guidance for parents on this subject. In fact, some well-known saints have specifically preached against corporal punishment. St. John Chrysostom wrote, Accustom your children not to be trained by the rod, for when he feels it, he will learn to despise it. And when he has learned to despise it, he has reduced your system to naught. St. John Bosco wrote, "Force indeed punishes the guilt, but does not heal the guilty. To strike a child in any way must be avoided." Psychology, brain science, and our Catholic faith agree that parents should assume the best, gently correct the wrongdoing, and redirect the child toward more positive behavior. Avoiding force will continue a relationship of trust and mutual respect between you and your child. For more guidance on Catholic parenting, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Going Negative, as we help you deal with negativity and all those negative people getting you down. Do you struggle with negative thoughts? Maybe you criticize yourself or tend to discount your successes or become discouraged more easily than you'd like. For that matter, maybe there is a negative person in your life, your spouse, a kid, family member, friend, somebody whose negativity just sucks all the joy out of you. Want to know how to deal with that gracefully? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
It's hard to stay away from negativity in a constantly bombarded socially networking world anymore, where most news sources, if you're not listening to this one, most things on the internet are just so focused on people venting their negativity about something all the time. That's a lot to take in and work against in your life, and know how to remain positive in your life, and know how to be a positive influence in people's lives. It's, I think, a bigger struggle now than it's been in a very long time. And if you're dealing with any of that, and you just want to deal with that negativity in your life or coming at you, we're here to help you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's talk with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have a daughter who is 15. She is very negative about everything, from the way she sees herself to everybody else. She's always looking at the negative side on everybody. If she has to make a comment, it's always about something negative. Even to her sisters.
So if there was one thing, okay, since this is a pervasive thing, if there was one thing that happens all the time, you know, where this the way this negativity manifests itself in your 15-year-old daughter, what would be that one thing you'd like help getting a handle on today?
I would love for her not to feel jealous or to feel more grateful about the gifts and the talents that God has given her, and not always look at, because she always has that jealous, envious feeling or tendency.
Give me an example of where that plays out. Like, how does that look? What does that look like?
For example, she may say, about her friends or her sister, she will say, well, she had a name, but you know, she has been studying for a week. Or if somebody else did well in a sport, scored well in a basketball game, well, you know, she's a coach favorite. And when she was in a retreat for teenagers, and they were asked to write in a little piece of paper, one of those young women of Grace Retreat, in a piece of paper, you know, what were the lies that Satan were telling them and things that they will believe about themselves. And, you know, on the other side, they had to reply to another person, what would Jesus tell them? So her problem, her issue was, I will never succeed academically. So, and then my other daughter said, I will never grow, I'm too short, something like that. So, I mean, we could see, you know, different Okay.
So she doesn't believe that she has the skills to succeed, is what I'm hearing you say. And she tries to make herself feel better by running other people down. And that's what, so when she says those kinds of things, how do you respond?
I always try to bring the positive about her. I always tell her that God gives people different talents, and maybe she has a lot of a struggle because her sisters are very gifted academically. Okay. And so she feels less, and she's always upset. And if I bring up the name of one of them to show her as an example of organization, for example, can you do maybe like so-and-so that she starts studying a week before and she just goes ballistic. Do not mention her name. I don't want to hear anything about her. And what the counselors at the school told me is that she's extremely sensitive to any negative comment, and that maybe for one negative criticism, she will need.
Is she getting professional help, or is it just that you're talking to the school counselor?
Just a school counselor.
Okay, that's fine. All right, so here's what I want you to do, okay? We said earlier, okay, that the antidote to negativity is not positivity, but proactivity, okay? When you try to encourage your daughter, everybody does this. This is just a natural thing to do. It's not like you failed or something. It's just a common mistake. When you try to address her negativity by being positive and saying, well, you know, everybody has different talents, and, you know, you got this, and you don't have to worry about this, because what ends up happening is what she hears is, yeah, right, Mom doesn't get it. Okay, because what she's really saying to you is, I want to be good at school. I don't know how. Okay, and then whenever you say, well, you know, you can be more like so-and-so, what in the back of her head she hears, well, I can't ever be like so-and-so. Well, so don't even bring her up. Okay, so what do you need to do? How can you be proactive in the face of this? You need to say to her, honey, I am so sorry that you're feeling that way. It's really hard to feel like everything comes easier to everybody else than it does to you. That's really got to be demoralizing for you, doesn't it? And the reason that's going to work is because, first of all, you're being empathetic. She feels like, oh, you know what? For the first time, Mom's getting this, okay? Which is going to bring down her emotional temperature. And then you say, but honey, if you want to be better at school, I can help you. Let's make a plan together for what to do. Now, don't bring up anybody else, what they do, but sit down with her and say, now, let's pick a subject that you'd like to be better at, and every night, for 15 minutes, let's study it together. I'll ask you questions, we'll do some problems together. If she pushes back, say, no, I'm not going to let you, I love you too much to let you give into this negativity and to just pout about it. If it's worth being upset about, it's worth doing something about, and I'm in it with you. So every night, for at least 15 minutes, we're going to study together. And I'll ask you questions, and we'll try to make it pleasant. We'll have, a snack, we'll put on some music. We'll just make it as pleasant as we can, okay? And just, we're in it together. If you want to achieve a goal, I love you enough to support you in achieving that goal. Let's make a plan to make it happen, okay? And then you do it every day. And you help her develop the skills that she needs. Don't just tell her to do something. Sit with her and help her learn it. You know, help her develop the skills so that she can be successful, right? If you find that she's so reactive that she won't accept your help, that's when professional help is indicated, and that you guys need to go to counseling. Not just send her to counseling. Teenagers don't do very well in individual therapy. You need to be there with her to know how you can support her in the progress the rest of the week that she's not in counseling, okay? But you don't necessarily need to start there. Start with the suggestion I'm making. You know, get away from trying to give her pep talks or point her to other people who are more successful. That's clearly not working. Don't be positive. Teach her to be proactive, where she can set a goal, develop steps for meeting that goal, and get the support from you that she needs to see those steps through to success. And again, if she pushes back so hard that you can't get past it, that's a sign that's time to get some professional counseling help. And if we can do more to support you in that, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about our telecounseling practice.
The one thing I want to add to that, though, is when you say if she pushes back that hard, then it's time for professional counseling. That doesn't mean stick her in counseling. You know, I want to emphasize that again. I really do, because so many parents think and are told by the school system, it'll just get her into counseling. So remember, building that rapport, that's the emphasis here, to really be there for her.
All right, thanks for the call. 877-573-7825 is the number. We're talking about going negative today on More to Life. Is there somebody in your life that is sapping your joy or just frustrating you with how negative they really are? 877-573-7825. Or are you dealing with a negativity that is sapping your joy and wearing you out? We're here for that too. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Ann, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Montana.
Hi there, Ann. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
We can indeed.
Okay. So I suffer from scrupulosity really bad, and I have since I was a little girl, and I've had countless priests tell me that. And I guess what my question is what kind of steps can I do to make sure, most especially, like, because my husband has to live with me, and he's so supportive. I mean, like, I'll be like, oh, gosh, do you think this was a horrible sin or whatever? And he's the most supportive guy.
So when you say scrupulosity, I mean, I know what it means, but it can manifest itself in lots of different ways. So how does it affect you specifically? Do you keep going to confession over and over again? Do you say certain prayers over and over? Do you just ruminate about sin? Like, what do you do?
So it's like confession, oh, gosh, for me, 2 to 3 times a week is probably really normal. And, even like you said, like the prayer thing, I have to keep telling myself I don't have to say it 50 times. I can just let Mary fix whatever I didn't do right. I mean, just constant. And it's been like that since I was little. When I was little, it was more of a, had to wash my hands a million times because that was the only way I could get through it.
Okay. What kind of help have you tried to get any kind of professional help for it?
And unfortunately, when I was young and went to counseling, it was not a Catholic. I think he was Christian, but not Catholic. And I felt like he was hitting right on the Catholic faith as kind of being the problem
in itself.
But you
haven't been to anybody since then, though. You're not getting any kind of you don't have any medication or.
I live in a remote area, and I just can't find.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you some tips for dealing with it on your own first, and then I'll give you some recommendations for ways to follow up if you'd like to, okay? So you know, scrupulosity, you mentioned the, when you were little or when you were younger, you used to hand wash. Scrupulosity is actually a kind of OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, where obsessive-compulsive disorder often revolves around obsessions and rituals about physical contamination. Scrupulosity is a kind of fear of spiritual contamination, all right? And what happens is there's a part of the brain, it's called the right caudate nucleus, that's responsible for our sinking feeling in our gut that says something is wrong. And it's like you get a little brain cramp in that part of your brain, just like you can get a Charlie horse in any other part of your body, you can get a pinched nerve in that part of your brain that triggers that kind of there's something wrong feeling. And because that's that part of your brain, that's in the lower brain, your limbic system, that's not the conscious part of your brain, that's just the feeling and body part of your brain. So when your conscious brain picks up on it, it's like, oh gosh, there must be something wrong. I've got this sinking feeling in my gut that there's something the matter. And instead of seeing it as a pinched nerve in that part of your brain, you start looking around for what to do about it. And then your brain starts to argue with yourself, right? So your lower brain says, there's a problem, there's a problem, there's a problem. And your higher brain says, but I don't see anything. And your lower brain, but there's a problem, but there's a problem, there's a problem. And your higher brain says, but I still don't see anything. And then eventually the higher brain, like a parent, just wants to shut the kid up and says, well, go wash your hands. Maybe it'll make you feel better. Go to confession. It'll make you feel better. It gives you some nonsense thing to do. Not that confession is nonsense, but you know what I mean, in this instance. But it gives you something to do to make you feel better, even though it's not the real problem. You know, it's sort of like, get away from me, kid, you bother me, sort of a thing. Okay. So the key here is learning how to reinterpret that feeling, not as either spiritual or physical contamination, but as a sign that you have a brain cramp in that part of your brain. And to breathe it out, just like you would any other Charlie horse. You just sort of sit with it. You take some deep breaths. You relax. You focus on, especially with scrupulosity, it's really important to focus on God's love. to force yourself to recall little incidents throughout the day that God showed you that he loves you, that he blessed you with the beautiful day or the parking spot near the grocery store or, the fact that somebody smiled at you or the tiniest things. Write them down. Focus on how you know that God loves you. You won't and prove it to yourself. Don't just say God loves you. Write down examples of when you felt that love or examples of blessings where you should be connecting more with that love and root yourself in that experience of it. Scrupulosity and OCD also tends to be kind of rooted in having grown up in a household that was maybe, a perfectly fine household but not particularly affectionate. That's tends to be the root of a lot of this sort of a feeling that I have to earn God's love and earn his approval. So by spending that time reflecting on God's love, praising him for his blessings, keeping a gratitude journal where you're writing down every day those little things that you are grateful for is tremendously helpful. But again, the root of this is that pinched nerve in your brain that just gets triggered for random reasons, and your conscious brain has been interpreting it as meaning that you've done something wrong. You've got to reinterpret that as a Charlie horse and deal with it the same way you deal with any other. Within about 15 minutes, if you do what we're talking about, that should kind of pass. Now, two resources for you, two books I want to turn you on to. One is a book called Brain Lock by Jeffrey Schwartz. It specifically focuses on OCD, but you can generalize from his suggestions to the kind of OCD scrupulosity that you've got. My book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, does deal with this issue specifically and walks you through the steps from a faithful perspective on physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual ways to address these concerns about anxiety, OCD, scrupulosity. Again, that book is Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. You can pick that up as well as learning more about our Catholic telecounseling services. You say you're in a remote area, you're not able to find a good Catholic counselor. If you feel like the suggestions that we're giving you here and the resources for self-help aren't sufficient, you could reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our telecounseling services. We deal with this issue a lot. In fact, we're one of the few areas that people can turn for faithful help with scrupulosity because many people experience what you did early on, where therapists will say, well, it's because you're Catholic. That's why. It's Catholic guilt, you know?
But I do have to say that all of our clinicians with Catholic counselors are faithful Catholics in line with the magisterium, but really can work with this particular issue, which, as you said, Greg, very hard to find help for this anywhere else.
So, Anne, there's a lot of hope. There's a good recovery rate for scrupulosity and OCD when you get the right kind of help. So if there's more that we can do beyond the suggestions that I've made here today, don't hesitate to reach out to us for those books or to learn more about the counseling at CatholicCounselors.com. Blessings to you. And if there's more we can do to support you, you know where to reach us. God bless. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. We're talking about dealing with negativity today on More to Life. And as we head out to our break, I want to share our verse of the day, which comes from Philippians 4:8.
It's one of my very favorite verses. It's whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things. I love that we get that straight from Scripture. And it really backs up what you were just saying with our last caller, Greg, because not only should we think on those things, but it sure does help to write them down every day and say, well, you know, where did I see Jesus show up for me today? Where do I see things in this category of things that were lovely, things that were commendable, things that were excellent and just and honorable and true? And write those down. It gives us such a connection with God, and he loves coming in that door when we open it.
So if you're struggling with negativity, Philippians 4:8 is a great scripture for you. We got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls about overcoming the negativity in your own mind and the negativity of others. 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after this.
Now, Catechism Wisdom with me, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and Father Larry Richards.
A culture that's materially comfortable gets spoiled. It says, I want my needs met. If I'm married, or even if I'm not, one of my needs, in my mind, might be, I want a child, and I want it now. For Catechism Wisdom, joining me, Father Larry Richards.
Yes.
Catechism says something here that's going to ruffle a
know.
Lot of folks.
Read me. Let me have it.
All right. Section 2378. A child is not something owed to one, but is a gift. The supreme gift of marriage is a human person. Wait a minute. We got the technology. Like, you know, the old bionic man. We've got the means. We can make it right.
Absolutely.
I want a kid. You know, my 10 children are all adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So the supreme gift of marriage, biologically, for me, was not a child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Am I getting ripped off?
Mm.
And is that fair?
The reality of all things is that we're all called to be life-giving, huh? But often God does not call that, like for me, he doesn't call me to be life-giving by having my own children. You know, God's called me, but he still does it. And the same with a couple who can't have children. They can do everything that the church allows them to do, as long as they're doing it to saying, okay, I want God's will in my life. I'm not going to make God do something for me. I'm going to seek God's will. And if I work according to nature and I work according to the teaching of the church, if God decides to give me a child, absolutely God bless. But if he doesn't, that doesn't mean I can't be fruitful. It can be like you have a go and adopt 10 children. Think about how many children in the world today have no one to care for them or love them. And so if you really, really, really want to be a mother or father, then do as you did.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we're talking about negativity today, specifically how to overcome it.
Let's talk now with our next listener who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hey there, caller. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, yes. I've been married 23 plus years and going on 24. And my husband's just been a negative person overall. His cup is usually half empty. And his first response in the morning when he gets up is a negative response. And, you know, if he talks to people, they all know his woes. And, you know, he's been in a job since high school that he doesn't like. And whenever anything happens good to, like, members in the family or if someone gets promoted or some good fortune comes, you know, he turns it around back to him like, you know, how lucky they are and how come I da-da-da, you know, and it's just the mantra of,
okay.
And what's my best way to... I mean, I've kind of tried the, you know, because he's got many blessings. I mean, a nice house and, you know, 7 children and grandchildren. And there's so many blessings, but yet he still has that.
How do you try to respond to that then? You try to have him, what do you do?
I've tried, you know, pointing out the blessings and saying, why did you turn it back on you? Be happy for that person because,
okay.
You know. They got a new position or whatever,
okay.
But it just said,
you do the pep talk thing, right? Yeah, you try to do the pep talk thing, and that's understandable. Again, that's a very common thing to do. It's also the most common mistake that we all make. It ends up making it worse. Again, positivity is not the antidote to negativity. Proactivity is, right? So what does that mean in this situation? It means first you empathize with the person, because if you don't empathize with them, they feel like you don't get it. So they got to hold on to it even more. So you end up accidentally reinforcing the negativity because they have to be even more negative to prove to you how unhappy they really are, right? Because you don't get it. I mean, that's what they think anyway. And you're not listening. Again, that's what they think. Not that those things are true. All right, so what do you do instead? First, you empathize. Honey, I am so sorry that you're feeling so frustrated right now about this. Then you redirect toward solutions. What do you think you want to do about it? Where do you want to go with this? And what's even a small thing you could do to begin to make a change in that direction? Oh, I don't know. I know there's nothing. Well, look, honey, if it's important enough to complain about, it's important enough to do something about it. And I love you too much to let you get away with this negative nonsense. So what do you want to do about it? Let's work on it together. Let's make a plan. Now, after 23 years and kind of a lifetime of this for him, that may not be enough. Okay, you may have a guy there who has been dealing with depression for most of his adult life. And if the suggestion I'm making for redirecting him towards solutions after you empathize with his negativity doesn't work, then that's a pretty clear indication that he needs to get some professional help for the depression. And he's not going to want to go, so I'm going to recommend that you go together, because you need to know how to support him in it. So this is more of a marriage thing than it is even just an individual problem. Okay, so I'd like you guys to seek some marital counseling for this. He might need some medication as well. But at the very least, start with redirecting in the way I'm proposing. You empathize with the emotion, then redirect toward solution. Follow that 1-2 process, and that should get things moving in a better direction. If not, there is help available. Don't just write this off as a personality thing for him. This is actually, potentially, a serious depression that both of you have been suffering with for way too long, and you don't have to. There's good help for it. All right, folks, for you, listener, and all the other listeners who are tuning in, if you need more support in dealing with your own negativity or the negativity of those people around you, check out the resources we mentioned on today's program, including Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, and God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Both of those resources and many others are available at CatholicCounselors.com, including information about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice. Work with a good, faithful Catholic counselor. God bless.
Listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.